Chapter 4. When Sam comes to, his return to consciousness is about as pleasant as a 2x4 to the head. He does a quick mental and physical status check. His breathing is fine, so whatever that gas had been, it didn't damage his lungs or airway, and his head is pounding with a dull ache of something like a hangover, so that's survivable. What's concerning is the fact that he's tied up, and judging by the strained ache in his shoulders, he's been tied up for at least an hour, maybe more. He tests his bonds carefully, and okay, nope, no give there. His arms are tied behind him with something he can't identify, and his legs aren't free either, his ankles tied to chair legs.
Sam! Sam, you awake? Come on, Sam, wake up!
Sam opens his eyes, and, on the upside, Bucky's in his line of sight, just a few feet away. On the downside, he's also tied up, or maybe more accurately, clamped up, with some kind of heavy-duty restraints pinning his limbs to one of the room's columns.
Yeah, I'm up. I'm fine. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay, says Bucky.
Sam gives him a thorough once-over, just to be sure this isn't one of those times Bucky says, I'm fine, while actively bleeding out. But Bucky does seem okay. Pissed off, sure, but okay and not freaking out. Still, their current situation is less than ideal.
So, this doesn't seem good.
He looks around, trying to get his bearings. He thinks they're still in the army terminal. The walls and general layout look about right. And when he looks up, he sees that part of the roof has crumbled or caved in, open to the sky, which is the soft, blue-violet color of twilight. The room itself is big, and from what Sam can see of it, it looks like an ad hoc lab space, although it's none too sterile. In fact, it looks mad scientist disorganized, machinery placed seemingly haphazardly, crates both stacked and sprawling all over the floor, a half-dozen lab benches covered in scientific clutter. Sam's own wingpack and shield have been tossed carelessly a few yards away, along with a sizable pile of what must have been Bucky's weapons. Sam tries to get Friday on comms, and Bucky shakes his head.
I tried that earlier. Our comms are fried or else they're in that pile of stuff over there. You think you can get yourself free?
He tests the cords binding him, straining to create any slack or give, but it's no good. He's tied too tightly, and with his hands behind him, his shoulders seriously protest any vigorous attempts to break free. There's slightly more give in the bindings around his ankles. Maybe if he can manage to wriggle out of his boots or break the chair.
Not anytime soon. You?
Bucky grimaces. Tried already. No luck. These things must be made for an enhanced person.
They are, in fact, made for enhanced individuals, says the man who enters the room at a harried and hurried kind of pace. It only takes seconds for Sam to recognize him, Dr. Curtis Connors, whose role in this whole thing seems to now be confirmed as mad scientist who's turning people into lizards. Mad scientist or not, there's nothing immediately concerning about his affect. He seems annoyed but not agitated, and his slightly rumpled business casual clothes suggest a man who's just rushed out of the office, not someone who's on a murder spree. It's not helping Sam come up with a motive for whatever's going on here.
And why's that, Dr. Connors? Sam asks.
For contingencies, given the course of my work, says Connors, almost absent-mindedly, as he rummages around one of the lab tables until he finds a hoop of metal. Granted, this isn't quite the sort of contingency I was expecting, but needs must.
Where's Rick Jacobs?
Asks Bucky, and that actually makes Connors look up, to glare at Sam and Bucky.
If you two hadn't come barging in, I would have the answer to that question. But since you did, Rick got away, my greatest success, and he slipped through my fingers.
Sam exchanges a glance with Bucky, a silent, keep him talking, as Connors hooks something up to the metal hoop, a cord that runs to something that looks a lot like an old-school Walkman cassette player.
So he was supposed to turn into a lizard monster? Prompts Sam.
Rick is no monster. He is a higher being. Faster, stronger, keener senses, able to heal rapidly.
Yeah, okay, I'm all of that too, and I'm not running around looking like a weird lizard and murdering innocent people,
cuts in Bucky.
You are broken,
hisses Connors, and Bucky's eyes narrow with anger. An incomplete experiment. Your prosthetic is impressive, sure, but it's not the real thing.
I need the real thing. I need to be whole,
he says, slapping at the stump that's all that remains of his right arm. Bucky, understandably, does not look particularly sympathetic to this take on being an amputee, his eyebrows rising to a decidedly offended height. Before Bucky can let out the fuck you that Sam's pretty sure is coming, Sam says, just because you're an amputee doesn't mean you're not whole. Trying for his most soothing counselor voice, it doesn't work. Spare me your platitudes, says Connors with a sneer. Why should I settle for a painful and inadequate prosthetic when I can be better, when I can regrow my arm just like lizards regrow their tails, when I can achieve a better evolution? Reptiles are extraordinary creatures, you know. Look at the alligator. Scarcely changed from its ancestors 80 million years ago, because it has no need to change. It's near perfect as it is. Humans should strive for that perfection. I have achieved that perfection with my lizard formula. If only Rick will... Rick has killed people. Innocent people, for no reason, says Bucky, and Connors shrugs. The predatory instincts need to be tweaked, that's all, he says, and jams the Walkman-looking thing into his pants pocket before putting the hoop on over his head. Once I retrieve Rick, I'll have the data and the samples I need to perfect the formula. He glances appraisingly at Sam and Bucky. And new subjects to test it on. You can be my control, so to speak, Captain. Or perhaps I can achieve better results on an already enhanced individual. Sam's stomach lurches as he imagines just what a transformation into a lizard monster might entail. He's guessing it'll be a hell of a lot worse than a magical transformation into a falcon, and Bucky goes bone white. No, he says with low vehemence. Sam hates the horror he can hear in Bucky's tone, but he hates the note of despair even more. How do you talk down a mad scientist? Sam wonders. Reason? Empathy? He has no goddamn idea. And no leverage besides. Dr. Connors, whatever you think you've discovered, whatever breakthrough you've made, we can do this the right way. You can talk to Dr. Banner. You expect me to share my research? You want me to be entangled in endless rounds of IRB when greatness is in my grasp? Connors scoffs. Absolutely not. There are some kinks to be worked out, but people must see that the lizard formula is humanity's next evolution. And who better to show them that than two of Earth's mightiest heroes? And I guess it doesn't matter to you that we don't want to be your science experiments, demands Sam. Yeah, I personally have had enough of being experimented on by evil scientists, says Bucky. Oh, don't be like that, soothes Connor. Don't you want your arm back, Barnes? Don't you want to be even better? And Captain, don't you want to be as strong as your predecessor? Sam just shakes his head, even though he's thinking, well, yeah, maybe, sometimes, but not as a goddamn lizard. Being a super soldier science experiment doesn't make me better, spits out Bucky, and Connor shakes his head as if he's disappointed. You'll see. Now, Rick can't have gotten far, he mutters, and then wanders off, heedless of Sam and Bucky's shouts after him. After Connors leaves, they're silent for a long moment. Bucky's practicing some calming deep breathing, it looks like, which is a good idea, actually, so Sam joins him until the pounding of his heart slows down from furious to focused. Someone's going to notice when we don't check in or make it back to the tower, says Sam. They'll find us. Hopefully before Connors comes back to give us a dose of lizard formula. We have no idea how long it'll take him to find Jacobs. He couldn't have found a better name for it, Sam wonders. It gets the point across, he supposes, but it's pretty basic, as names go. Bucky glares. I don't care what it's called. I just don't want to be a science experiment. Again, he says, voice strained. For all that his breathing is still slow and deliberate, Bucky's hands are clenching and unclenching in their bindings. He's scared, Sam realizes, and with good reason. This has got to be the stuff of literal nightmares for Bucky. Sam's not exactly enjoying it, either. We're going to get out of here before that happens, says Sam in his most reassuring voice. Come on, look around. Is there anything we can use? Anything we can do? They both look around as best they can with their limited range of movement. Maybe Sam can maneuver over to one of the lab benches? He might be able to manage a kind of rocking, hopping motion with the chair. But without his hands free, he couldn't do much. He looks over at Bucky's restraints, which clamp over his wrists and ankles to attach to the column behind him. They're magnetic, probably, and if there's a way to disengage them, Connors probably has it. Bucky twists his left wrist against the restraints, a frown of concentration on his face.
I can maybe get my arm off, but not sure that'll help any.
Yeah, not unless your arm can move around on its own.
I'll have to suggest it to Shuri, says Bucky dryly. You got anything?
I could hop around, maybe?
Sam looks up and spots the hole in the roof again, where the shadows are deep, but is there movement there? He strains to hear the flutter of wings.
Hey, birds! Up there, yeah, you! Can I get an assist down here?
A couple of pigeons flap down from their roost to perch warily on some machinery a couple yards away.
Seems bad, Birdman, says one of them.
Guess you're not the top of the food chain, huh? Says the other. That's rough, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's not great. So, a little help?
Sam, I really don't think the pigeons can help, starts Bucky, and the pigeons bob their heads in agreement.
Shiny Arm Man is right. We're clearing out before Lizard Man comes back.
Shit.
Okay, yeah, that's fair, but could you, like, get us some help?
Sam, starts Bucky, now decidedly strident, with his eyebrows reaching peak grumpy cat position.
What are we, carrier pigeons? You got a letter for us?
Says one of the pigeons with a frankly insulting level of mockery.
Though the pigeon's not wrong. A pigeon's not exactly lassie. No one's likely to follow one to find little Timmy down the well.
Sam really wishes he had a more helpful kind of bird here. Like, can you bring some crows here, please?
Because crows are clever, and crows can use tools, and that means they're the best hope for helping them get out of here.
It's a long shot, maybe, but Sam figures a crow's most likely to be able to find something in here to help them. Plus, some crows can actually talk, like parrots can, right? Worst comes to worst, maybe Sam can get them to find the nearest cob while calling for help.
Yeah, all right, say the pigeons, and then they fly away.
Sam's almost scared to look at Bucky once the pigeons leave, because he can practically feel the incredulous rage emanating from his direction.
Can you stop with this talking to birds bullshit? It was funny at first, okay? I really applaud your commitment to the joke and everything, but we need an actual plan here, Wilson.
Shit, Bucky's actually pissed. Sam is well aware that this is why he never should have lied in the first place. This is the moment in the fable where he, the wrongdoer, receives his comeuppance by losing the trust of his partner and also maybe by being turned into a lizard. He's really hoping he can avoid the latter, because upsetting Bucky is actually bad enough. Bucky's so habitually even-tempered that seeing him so visibly mad feels way, way worse than Sam could ever have expected.
Okay, A, first of all, it was never a joke. And second, it may have been a lie at one point, but it's for real now, I swear.
What? Snaps Bucky, and Sam takes a deep breath. Time to come clean, even if it's absolutely mortifying.
It was a dumb lie, okay? I know it was a dumb lie, but I got in too deep. And then I got turned into a bird, and when Wanda turned me back, I really could talk to birds.
Bucky gapes at him.
Why would you lie about having a, honestly, kind of useless superpower?
Hey, it's not useless.
Seriously, you're already Captain America. Why would you need a fake superpower on top of that?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm Captain America. And I am, or was, a totally normal, unenhanced human who's on a team with a bunch of people who have super strength or magic.
Bucky's brow furrows.
So? You're a really good Captain America. You know that, right? You work so hard, and you can fly? And you're amazing with the shield. You save people all the time. Like, remember that thing in Karachi? You got us all through that apartment complex, even though we couldn't see shit through all that cloaking. And then you talked to every single one of the victims and made sure we stuck around until all of them were safe with their families.
Yeah, so, says Sam, that's all just a job. I gotta be the best, okay? I'm Cap, and I'm black, and there are so many people I can't let down, and that means I have to be better than the best.
You are. You don't need stupid superpowers for that. Don't you see how amazing you are?
Bucky stops then, turning very red, before he clamps his lips shut, as if the words flowing out of him have surprised him. He looks down, shifting against his bonds as he takes a couple of measured breaths, before the line of his shoulders steadies and he faces Sam again. He's still blushing.
It's fucking adorable.
Meanwhile, Sam is going through a total perspective shift. Like he's just realized he's been staring at one of those optical illusions and seeing an old crone when he could have been seeing a young woman in fancy clothes. Maybe he hasn't been courting Bucky. Not on purpose, anyway. But Bucky's been courting him. He's been so caught up in his own shit, stressing about whether he's a good enough Captain America, letting himself fixate on Bucky's skills and how Sam himself measures up, that he hadn't noticed what even the birds had, that it's not just Sam's issues and Bucky's competence that have been getting Sam all riled up, that it's been so long since he's wanted someone, really wanted them, that he'd almost forgotten what it was like. Well, better late than never. Sam smiles, helpless and thrilled.
Well, what can I say? When your partner's good at literally everything, it kind of gives you a complex.
What? Says Bucky, and the total, oblivious confusion on his face makes all the resentment and annoyance that have been simmering away at a low boil inside Sam vaporize, nothing left but pure fondness. Apparently, they've both been dumbasses.
Bucky, says Sam, feeling helplessly tender all of a sudden,
you're good at everything. Fighting, shooting, using the shield, flying spaceships, speaking every damn language known to man, saving bees, for God's sake, and that's not even counting everything else.
Bucky's eyes are very wide now, his pink lips parting in surprise.
What do you mean, everything else?
Sam gives him a look, shooting for unimpressed, but probably landing on exasperated affection instead. Clearly, it's the oblivious leading the clueless here. Steve and Natasha are never going to let them hear the end of this.
You know how you're really hot and also strong and brave and sweet and really good at courting. You should hear what the birds say. Anyway, you make it all look so damn easy. And you're not even an asshole about it. It's kind of a high standard. And it's, you know, a lot to deal with in a partner.
Oh. I thought... Ugh. At first, I kind of thought you didn't want me as a partner. Or on the team.
What?
You kept saying stuff about how I didn't need any help, and making cracks about how I should be Cap, and I thought you were fucking with me, throwing the whole Winter Soldier thing in my face.
What?
All the blood rushes from Sam's face, and his stomach gives a sick lurch.
Fuck.
He hadn't even realized his own issues had turned him into such a self-centered asshole.
Bucky flushes again, avoiding Sam's gaze.
Yeah, no, I figured that wasn't really it around the time you kept, you know, looking at me a lot and calling me hot. But then you didn't really do anything? Or maybe I'm just really not good at flirting?
Oh my God, I'm such an asshole, groaned Sam. I'm sorry, Bucky, that was all my insecurity and shit. I wasn't trying to be a dick to you. Not that it matters, obviously. If I hurt you, fuck, I'm sorry.
Sam, don't. It's okay. I figured she didn't hate me or whatever, says Bucky, now actually meeting Sam's eyes again, an uncertain tilt to his mouth.
But, I've been getting real mixed signals here, Sam. And if...
Yo, Birdman, you needed us?
Oh, this is a bad scene. Bad scene.
Two crows flap into the room and land on the lab benches, immediately beginning to peck and poke curiously around the cluttered surfaces.
Right, remember Sam, they're still tied up in the lair of a mad scientist. That is definitely what Sam should be focused on, rather than what's going on between him and Bucky.
Yeah, it's not great, Sam tells the crows. Thanks for coming.
I can't believe we're relying on a couple of crows to get us out of this, says Bucky, and his tone is half wondering and half disbelieving.
The crows can't believe it either, says one of the crows, and Sam laughs.
Hey, beggars can't be choosers, says Sam.
The crows fly closer, circling around Sam. One of them stops behind him, and when Sam twists around as best he can to see it, he sees the crow pecking carefully at the bindings.
Can't undo this, Birdman. Too big, too tight. I got skills, sure, but I only got a beak, yeah? No fancy opposable thumbs.
Maybe if you can find a knife around here somewhere? There should be one in that pile over there.
tries Sam, gesturing with a nod of his chin towards the pile of Bucky's weaponry, and the crow behind Sam heads in that direction. The other crow is already exploring all the machinery and lab benches.
A lot of shiny stuff here. A lot of stinky stuff, too.
The crow finds a colorful binder clip.
Hey, can I have this? Sure, you can have whatever. Just, if you could look around for any kind of knife?
Or some kind of remote, suggests Bucky. If, you know what that is?
A remote? Sam asks.
Something controls these cuffs. They're magnetic, and they're meant to hold someone who's enhanced, so it's probably something that works at a distance.
Could just be on Connor's phone,
says Sam, and Bucky shrugs, then winces as the movement pulls on muscles that are likely straining by now.
Buttons! Exclaims one of the crows. Remotes have a lot of buttons. I love buttons, all kinds of buttons. Pushing buttons, pants buttons, shirts buttons, jacket buttons, big red buttons.
As the crow regales them with its litany of buttons, it pecks at every button or button-like thing in sight. The keys of an open laptop, the buttons on assorted scientific equipment, the buttons on a calculator, the button on what looks like a key fob. The clamps, holding Bucky's arms up, disengage with a click and fall to the floor.
Holy shit! They did it, says Sam.
I found a knife,
exclaims the other crow.
It's mine now.
What are you even going to do with a knife? Sam asks it, but it doesn't answer, too busy admiring its new knife. Sam's just going to have to hope that murders of crows don't do actual murders.
Meanwhile, Bucky bends down and uses his left arm to pull off the remaining clamps holding his ankles. It takes him a fair amount of effort, judging by the grimace on his face, but he does it, and then he's free. He jogs over to Sam and undoes the cords tying him up before helping him out of the chair, his hands gentle on Sam's shoulders.
All right, Bucky asks him, and in answer, Sam kisses him.
It's really not the best time, what with how Jacobs or Connors could be back at any moment, but Sam can't leave Bucky with any doubt about what he wants. He needs to make sure Bucky knows that as much of an inadvertent, clueless asshole Sam has been, there aren't going to be any more mixed signals. Sam wants him. It seems dumb not to have noticed that. But God, Sam's noticing now. Months' worth of unacknowledged sexual frustration and suppressed or ignored desire going off like fireworks inside him as he takes Bucky in, the thrilling intensity of his pale eyes, the serious and determined set of his jaw, the strength and grace in the way he moves, and how he's still as ludicrously competent as ever. Sam, somewhat belatedly, suspects he might have a bit of a competence kink. So, he kisses Bucky. They don't have time for anything more than a swift press of lips, which means it's really not the best first kiss ever, and Bucky's too surprised to do much else other than gasp against his lips. It's a placeholder of a kiss more than anything else, a firm IOU that declares Sam's intentions without a shadow of a doubt. But even so, it's enough for Sam to feel the heat of Bucky's lips against his, to share a breath of thrilled anticipation between them, before Sam pulls back.
No mixed signals, Sam tells him. Just let's come back to this, okay?
Yeah, says Bucky, flatteringly breathless and wide-eyed. Okay.
Hey, is this a mating thing? Asks a crow. You humans do mouth stuff for mating, right? You two about to mate?
No, we are not about to mate. It's not exactly the right time and place, Sam tells it, and Bucky blinks in surprise and confusion. Sorry, the crow was asking.
About us mating? Demands Bucky incredulously, and Sam just shrugs.
Bucky shakes his head and starts stowing away his truly ludicrous quantity of weaponry. The crow nods.
Right, right, of course, you gotta do it proper, court him nicely, get him some gifts, I say. Some real nice, shiny stuff. A guy with an arm like that, he's got real discerning taste, I bet. You want, I could show you where to...
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much. We gotta go find the lizard monster and the mad scientist now, though, before they eat any more people, or birds.
Do I even want to know?
Murmurs Bucky, as they both scramble to retrieve their weapons and equipment, and Sam laughs.
Not really.
He finds his phone and grimaces when he sees how busted it is.
Any chance your phone is in decent enough shape to call the team?
Nope, says Bucky, unearthing his own, similarly battered and broken phone. Can't find our comms anywhere either.
Damn. Well, let's get out of here. We can borrow a phone or run down some cops if we got time. Let's go.
Sam turns to leave, but Bucky clears his throat.
Is the crow just gonna, keep my knife?
Yeah, it's the crow's knife now, Sam tells him, and watches as Bucky accepts this improbable but true fact with the grim resignation of a man who'd once had to dodge a talking raccoon's attempts to steal his arm.
Mine, confirms the crow happily.
Right, says Bucky slowly. Of course, thanks for the help, he tells the crows awkwardly.
He's a keeper, says one of the crows, and the other one concurs. Yeah, this one's mate material, Birdman. Remember what I told you. You gotta get him gifts.
They leave Connor's makeshift mad scientist lair, and Sam's relieved to find Connor's hadn't dragged them off to a secondary location. They're still somewhere in the Brooklyn Army Terminal, and dilapidated and abandoned or not, there are still plenty of helpful exit signs to show them the way out. So they make their way out as quickly and stealthily as they can, alert to any signs of Jacobs or Connors. Despite the horror movie feel of it all, empty, abandoned hallways under dead or flickering lights, the occasional ominous creak and clanging noise, their path out is uneventful. Sam does have a moment of disorientation when they get outside, though, like when you walk out of a movie theater, surprised to see just how dark it's gotten outside.
Shit, what time is it?
He wonders, looking up at the night sky, unease cutting through the adrenaline to make his stomach lurch. What if this is like after the blip, on the battlefield in Wakanda? What if they've lost years again?
Just after 9. We weren't out for long, answers Bucky, with a soothing level of confidence, though Sam knows Bucky hasn't got a watch on him. Team should be looking for us by now.
And, in fact, when they get to the ferry dock, Hope and Scott are there, consulting with the NYPD. There's a lot of activity in the waters near the ferry dock, boats sweeping the water with high-powered searchlights, and a couple of choppers doing the same as they circle further down the harbor, the dull thump of their rotors just audible.
Hey, you looking for us?
Sam calls out as they jog towards their teammates, and Scott and Hope turn towards them, relief obvious on their faces. You're late, says Hope, her severe tone at odds with the smile on her face.
We ran into some trouble with Connors, Sam tells her. Turns out he really has gone full mad scientist. He's got a lab in the Army Terminal, wants to perfect some kind of lizard formula to turn people into monsters. And Jacobs? Is he an accomplice or a victim?
Asks Scott.
Because he jumped into the cop's boat, took a few swipes at him, and then dived into the harbor. No sign of Connors yet, though.
We gotta find Jacobs before Connors does. Seems like he's probably a victim in all this, but he's still dangerous. And we can't let Connors find him and use him to make more formula, says Bucky.
So do we all stick to searching the harbor? Asks Hope. If Connors is going after Jacobs, he's got to be doing it in a boat, right?
Connors doesn't have a boat of his own, so he would have had to steal one, says Scott,
and taps at his communicator. Friday, where's the nearest marina to our current location, and can you tell us if any boats have gone missing the last couple of hours? After a moment, Scott grins in triumph.
Got him. There's one boat unaccounted for at the closest marina. Friday's sending us the details.
Good thinking, Scott, says Sam, impressed.
All right, you two take one of the NYPD boats and go after Connors. Me and Bucky are going to try and find Jacobs.
Hopefully without going for a swim, says Bucky.
So they split up the team again, with Scott and Hope giving them spare comms before they go, and Parker coordinating from the tower, where he can keep an eye on any reports of suspicious lizard-related activity. Then Sam has to convince Bucky that the best way to find Jacobs is if Sam looks from the air with his UV-enabled goggles, while Bucky's in a boat.
I don't like the idea of splitting up even more, Sam, Bucky says with a frown.
Look, it's nighttime, and I know you've got super senses, but it's not going to be easy to spot one lizard man in the harbor in the dark. If I can look for him in the air, in a full UV spectrum, I'll have a way better shot of finding him.
Fine, concedes Bucky. But don't make like one of your bird friends and try and pull him out of the water. Leave catching him to me.
You got it, Sam says.
It takes a mostly boring couple of hours of flying low over the water before Sam spots the telltale flash of unnatural color in the dark waters of the harbor. He alerts Bucky, who grumbles about the impossibility of a stealthy approach, but who does still manage to get the NYPD boat he's commandeered close to Jacobs.
Maybe we should try and talk to him, suggests Sam,
circling low over the boat, his hand already twitching towards the shield, just in case.
We can talk to him after we've got him, says Bucky. And then he pulls out a weapon Sam doesn't recognize, something that looks like a compact shotgun with a huge arrow attached to the barrel.
Is that a harpoon gun? Hisses Sam. Where were you even keeping that? And don't kill him.
He'll heal, is all Bucky says, and then he's taking aim with his trademark unhurried calm. Despite the way the boat is moving with the waves, Bucky's balance is rock steady, and he seems impossibly still as he sights down the barrel of the harpoon gun and fires. The harpoon lands, of course, and Jacobs lets out an unholy screeching shout as Bucky grimly reels him in.
We're going to get you some help, Mr. Jacobs, Sam shouts.
Then he lands on the boat to help Bucky get Jacobs restrained.
We're going to find Connors, figure out what he did to you, and we're going to try and fix it, okay? Just don't fight us, please.
Jacobs is either too exhausted and hurt to bother trying to escape, or Sam's words are actually getting through to him, because he doesn't fight once they wrestle him onto the boat, and he doesn't even try to pull out the harpoon lodged in his side. He keeps his face turned away from them and submits to being restrained, and the only sound he makes is a keening moan when they work the harpoon free. His wound begins to heal almost instantly.
Sorry about that, Bucky says. I know you just wanted to get away, but it's not safe, okay? For you or anyone else. But we're going to help you, all right?
They keep talking to Jacobs until they get back to shore. Sam hopes it reminds the poor guy that he's still human, and hopes even more that they'll be able to fix this. No one deserves to be so changed, to be turned monstrous against their will.
Sorry,
Jacobs hisses, the word coming out slightly garbled, probably on account of the mouthful of big, sharp teeth he has now, thinks Sam.
I had to keep control.
Yeah, I'll bet, says Bucky gently. It's not your fault, all right? We'll figure this out. Dr. Banner will be able to help. Just hang in there, okay? Sam doesn't feel great about leaving Jacobs, but finding mad scientist Connors is now the priority, so they send Jacobs off to the Avengers' secure holding facility, and then they rejoin the search for Connors. The guy must know he's the subject of a manhunt by now. Ferry services have been suspended, and the harbor is crawling with cop boats. So maybe he's ditched the stolen boat and gone to ground. With no sign of the missing boat yet, and no alerts from Friday or law enforcement that Connors has been spotted elsewhere, they keep searching the harbor anyway. Not long after midnight, Parker checks in with them.
So, nothing to worry about. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are handling it, and so's Animal Control, but apparently there are some alligators crawling out of the sewers in Manhattan. They're not, like, hurting anybody, but, you know, gators.
Shit, you think that's Connor's work? Or is it Jacob's? Asks Sam.
I mean, maybe. I don't know how this whole lizard formula thing works, but Jacobs is asleep in the secure room of the infirmary. Dr. Banner's on his way back to take a look at him,
reports Parker.
Plus, it's not like alligators are going to be able to get up to the 89th floor.
If it's Jacobs, it might not be on purpose, says Bucky. Like, you got turned into a bird, and now you can talk to birds, right? Maybe he can talk to reptiles and doesn't know it. Or maybe they're drawn to him or something.
What, some kind of psychic bond with all reptiles?
Sure, why not? And if it's Connors, well, I don't know. Maybe he just overestimated the bloodthirstiness of New York sewer gators.
Great, just what the night needs. Random alligators roaming around the streets of Manhattan. Sam sighs and rubs at his forehead.
I like how you're just casually accepting the reality of sewer gators. And by like, I mean, what the fuck, man?
Bucky shrugs.
I mean, alligators in the sewers of New York are basically normal, right? He muses, like it's been an urban legend since I was a kid.
Do not normalize sewer gators, Barnes, says Sam,
because he's really not sure he wants to live in a world where New York's subterranean wildlife includes alligators, along with enormous rats. He taps his comms again.
Keep an eye on the gator situation, Parker. We're going to keep looking for Connors.
Aye, aye, Cap.
It's a long, damp night of searching the harbor, and by dawn, dew is beating on Sam's wings, and he's exhausted. Even Bucky's beginning to look a little haggard. Sam's about to call for a break, so they can rest up and maybe come up with a new search strategy, preferably on solid ground rather than at sea.
when his ears catch the faint sound of some kind of unholy cacophony of shouting somewhere in the distance.
"You hear that?"
Sam asks Bucky, and Bucky tilts his head in a listening pose.
"Sounds like geese honking," he says.
Now, an interesting and or deeply annoying side effect of Sam's new ability to talk to birds is that the usual dawn and morning chorus of birdsong is no longer quite the pleasant and bucolic connection to nature that it once had been. No, now that Sam knows what the birds are saying, it's not song. It's a near riotous din of citywide conversation, consisting mostly of strident calls for food and attention, a collective avian stream of consciousness. Even the noisy geese aren't usually quite this noisy, though. If the spider kid has a spider sense, then Sam has something like a bird sense, and it's definitely a tingle.
"They're louder than usual," Sam says. "Let's go check it out. Maybe they found something. I think there are a bunch of geese over on Governor's Island. It's probably them."
They tell the skipper to head for the island, and as they get closer, it's obvious that something's up. There's an enormous gaggle of geese congregating on the shoreline and in the sky over it, so many of them that they're obscuring whatever's on the beach.
"Now, what do you think is going on there?" wonders Sam, though he suspects he knows.
"Geese being their usual asshole selves?" suggests Bucky, but he looks intrigued also.
The skipper swears, then says,
"You know, Governor's Island has a goose herding dog, supposed to chase the damn things off so they don't shit on everything and go after people. Maybe the geese are going after the poor thing."
"Get us closer,"
says Bucky, and the skipper grumbles about goose shit, but does take the boat closer. Close enough that Sam can make out what the angry furor is about.
"Our territory! Ours! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! If you take even one look at my precious eggs, I will end you, you hear me? I will fucking end you! Get the fuck out of here! We're not for eating! Get it! Get it! Make that goddamn freak of nature go back in the water where it came from!"
Damn. Sam's always known geese are assholes, but he didn't realize they're such foul-mouthed assholes. He powers his wing pack up again and gets ready to take off.
You sure you want to fly into that?" asks Bucky,
looking warily at the huge and furious gaggle of hissing geese.
"They won't hurt me," says Sam. "Probably."
They might cover him in foul shit, but they probably won't hurt him. And if they do, well, he has the shield, doesn't he? Though it's probably not befitting the shield's dignity if it ends up covered in goose crap. Worst comes to worst, he can always make like his falcon namesake and dive-bomb his way through the goose vortex of rage. Sam flies over the gaggle first and calls down to them,
"Hey, geese, what's going on down there? You need any help?"
"Oh, now there's a fucking bird man, too! What the fuck? This ain't your territory! Get the hell out!"
I know," soothes Sam. "I'm not here to horn in on your territory or hurt anybody. Don't know if you heard from the pigeons or crows, but there's a bad guy on the loose. Might be hurting birds."
Sam's simplifying here, since they've already got Jacobs, but it's not a lie, exactly. One of the geese flies up out of the angry mass to circle Sam.
"Yeah, we might have heard something about that from the crows. A big bad lizard man, right?"
it asks.
"Yeah, yeah, is that?"
Sam tries to peer through the flapping wings of what has to be at least 24 angry geese.
"Is that who's down there?"
"Yeah, we thought he was going to go after our eggs. You going to get him out of here?"
"That's the plan. You guys mind helping me out?"
"Interloper!"
shrieks one of the geese, the cry taken up by at least 12 more, and Sam winces.
"Calm your asses down. Birdman's here to deal with Lizard Man. Make a hole,"
honks the goose, and the gaggle disperses slightly. Sam winces. He doesn't relish trying to fly through that unscathed. God, why are geese such assholes? Maybe it's time to try a different tack. He flies down a little closer to the geese. One of them snaps at his ankles.
Hey, listen, can I be real with y'all for a second? Y'all see Shiny Arm Man? He's on the boat over there."
A few geese allow that they do.
No wings, says one of them.
But look at that arm gleam.
The golden seams of Bucky's vibranium arm are, in fact, gleaming in the early morning light. And the light is just as kind to the rest of him, picking out glowing copper highlights in his shiny hair and lending richness to his summer-tan skin.
"I bet you're just dying to test it,"
says another goose.
"What?"
"The arm."
"Test it? How?"
"I've seen humans do stuff,"
it says, in a frankly, horrifyingly salacious tone,
Jesus, what is wrong with geese?
Not that maybe Sam hasn't had some thoughts. Focus, Wilson.
Yeah, that's, I'm working on a courtonym. And if I really want to impress him, I gotta pull off this hunt right here. And I gotta make it look good, you know? No getting a ton of goose crap all over my fancy wings.
Listen, if we gotta shit, we gotta shit, says one of the geese.
Yeah, no, of course, but if you could just, like, not shit on me? Come on, do me a solid, I'm trying to get a mate, you know?
The geese confer for a moment, looking back and forth between Sam and Bucky as they wheel gracefully in the sky.
Yeah, all right, says one of them. For the romance, yeah? We geese believe in love, you know? Me and my mate, we've been together a long time now. He did some real dumb shit trying to court me, and it worked. So this'll probably work, too.
Thanks, says Sam.
Yo, let Birdman through. He's got to win his mate,
the goose shouts, and the gaggle of geese clears enough to reveal a decidedly bedraggled, shat upon, and mid-lizard transformation, Dr. Connors. Sam climbs up into the air with a few hopefully impressive beats of his wings, then drops into a dive, shooting clean and easy through the wedge of geese right to Connors, who he snatches up as quickly and easily as any peregrine falcon grabbing prey. When Sam neatly deposits a geese-battered Connors onto the deck of the boat, his wings and shield shining and entirely clear of goose shit, he's rewarded with the sight of Bucky's sparkling smile, and better still, his laugh, the big, bright, and genuine one that makes his nose wrinkle up adorably.
Wilson, goddamn show-off, says Bucky, still smiling.
I think it worked, calls out a goose. Now take your mate and get out of here.
So, I take back everything I said about talking to birds being a useless superpower, says Bucky, as they hand off Connors to a waiting war machine and Bruce back on shore in Brooklyn. That was pretty impressive.
What'd I tell you? I got bird skills, Barnes,
Sam tells him, and does his best to affect a casual, flirty pose. It's not easy with the wing pack and shield on, but Sam thinks he manages it.
Yeah, you do, Bucky says. Sorry I ever doubted.
Bucky tilts his head then, and somehow that small motion is impossibly sexy. Something about the way it draws attention to the stubbled, strong line of his jaw, or maybe it's the satisfied, secretive curve of his lips, or the way his eyes have gone just a little heavy-lidded, his long lashes casting pretty shadows, every small gesture like an invitation. Sam's tired and sore and hungry, but all of that's nothing in comparison to how much he wants right now. Rhody retracts his faceplate and squints suspiciously at both of them.
Huh, he says. How about you two head home, get cleaned up, get some sleep? Debrief can wait until tomorrow, once Banner's had a chance to take a look at our lizard friends.
Thanks, Rhody, says Sam, relieved that his already long day, night, morning? God, Sam needs a break. Isn't getting longer.
You can come over to my place, if you don't want to make the schlep back to Harlem, suggests Bucky.
Sam may be tired, but that offer zings down his spine to pool anticipatory, fluttering warmth in his stomach. It's enough to give him a second wind.
Invite me over already? Moving kind of fast there, Barnes.
Sam teases, and Bucky shoots Sam a coy and infuriatingly sexy smirk.
Hey, I thought we'd been courting a while. According to the birds, anyway.
Well, we don't want to disappoint the birds, of course,
says Sam, trying and failing to keep a straight face.
Lead the way.
For all the innuendo they've been tossing back and forth, and even with the blood-pumping promise of Bucky's invitation, it's when Bucky offers his hand to hold that Sam really realizes that this is it. He's doing this. They're doing this. And it's going to be great. Because Bucky's hand is warm and trusting in Sam's, and his smile turns sweeter even than the summer morning sunshine, when Sam gives his hand a squeeze. God, Sam was stupid not to have noticed what's been in his reach this whole time. That's okay, though. He's gonna start to make up for it right now.